As we study the Bible tonight, you pretty much had an overview of the lesson already in that song we sang. In the first verse, the last words of the first verse, it says, "Molding hearts for heaven above." Tonight, and from the preparation I've done, it looks like sometime in the future, three other times, we'll be studying about children, looking at what the Bible gives us to be able to shepherd our children's heart to God. So with children, you probably have heard this phrase. You know, they don't come with a manual. As a teenager, I remember thinking, well, there's scripture out there that we hear, and I'd always be rebuffed by parents, it seemed like. It's probably an exaggeration in my own eyes, but you know, they'd say things like, well, you don't know unless you've had children. And I always thought it was funny as a teenager because, you know, not much later, you'd hear from their same mouths, every child is different. And I always thought, that's kind of funny, you know? It's like, if you don't know unless until you have the experience, but everyone's different, that seems kind of strange. Sounds like they're winging it to me, but even as a teenager, I was disturbed whenever I'd be in Walmart or some other public place and see a baby bottle full of Kool-Aid. So apparently there's, you know, levels of good parenting out there. But, you know, sometimes people just don't have the means to take care of their children like they would like to. So, yes, they don't come with a manual. I did not get this my lesson from these books. But as a teenager, you know, that's about how long this lesson's been brewing in my mind. I always thought, well, but, you know, how are people going to do this? Where do they go if they're in the world? And the era I grew up just missed Dr. Spock. And so as I'm doing this lesson, I'm sitting here preparing, and I'm like, you know what? Before I put that manual comment up there, I better go to Amazon and search to see what parenting manuals are out there. This is what I came up with. And so people still try to make help aids for raising children. And that's because it's important. Some other phrases that you might hear, you know, they don't come with an instruction book, user guide, warranty. That's more of the vernacular nowadays. As a parent, I'd give all those up if they just had sometimes an off switch, a volume control, or an undo button. Children are a blessing from God. They're an opportunity and a responsibility that is very distinct. They remind me of, strangely enough, the blessings that were promised to Israel. Not in the specificities of what those blessings would be, but in the fact that there was going to be promises made. And the promises to Israel were, you do good, you do what I tell you, you will have blessings. If you don't do what I tell you, you stray from me, God promised also they would have curses. And from everything that I've seen, Israel didn't do a very good job. Children also have a soul. That's what I want to focus on the lesson tonight. They are a precious spiritual being. They have a soul. Because they have a soul, they're going to need instruction. And so showing God to our children is paramount as part of being parents. We need to take the gospel to our children. We need to have it be part of our lives. And it's really important to realize that there is instruction for raising your children. You can even say the instruction manual that we try to use is the Bible. And so, as we look at the scriptures tonight, I want to think about some of the things that we do specifically around the child's heart. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." What comes from a child's heart is sometimes quite unexpected. As little children, and in class this morning, Brian referenced Ashlyn and doing things and realizing that things that she was doing was a reflection of the things that he does. Some things that come out of our children in their younger years are quite embarrassing. Never happened to me, I'm glad. But sometimes children have been known to specifically state the most obvious and unflattering characteristics of strangers in the checkout line in front of you. It's done in innocence, and it's during an age of mimicry. And during that age, the child is learning to do things as a reflection of the things that you do. But soon after that, identity starts to gush forth from the child's heart. And you see specific characteristics that are going to be identified with that child for the rest of their life if they are not molded and directed and corrected in a manner that is according to what God would want it to be. The heart is the wellspring of life from which we are defined. With Shannon, whenever she'd do something that needed a course correction, we could look at her and say, "That wasn't very nice." And then we'd have to hold a crying child for 15 minutes. She has a very precious heart. When Nathan, when he was younger, it got to the point where traditional things weren't working. And we were struggling sometimes to figure out what was the appropriate measure to correct course. And we would sometimes get looks that, you know, if I could interpret what he was thinking, might have come out as, "Just wait until you're asleep tonight." And both of them have grown out of that age. And now that are at an age where I can reason with them, and they can understand, and they can be taught about God's word. And so, some of the things that come out of a child's heart are not necessarily predictable or foreseeable. But as a child grows, we see some of these things. Some of these things are like the wind. We only see evidences of them. But they all come from the heart. They make up who our child is going to be. One of them, it's probably the most predictable, and here it comes, is behavior. Behavior is what we see and what allows us to give insight into our child's heart. We need to take that information and use it to help interpret what they're thinking, what's going through their mind, when they're struggling. We need to help them get through tough times, and we need to encourage them during rewarding times. Ryan, on Wednesday night, mentioned Anna. And quite often, whenever anyone is up here and they're presenting, I often think, I know what scripture you should use next. Use this one. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I know I've mentioned this scripture to Anna, or to Ryan, but it's in reference to Zechariah. Whenever Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, whenever he was serving in the temple and he had to fulfill his duties, he was visited by an angel. Because of his lack of belief, he was not able to talk. And then eventually, whenever it was time to name the child, and, you know, well, John is not a traditional name, and Zechariah wrote, his name will be John. His voice was loosened. That impacted all the people there, their family, and people throughout the countryside. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 65, it says, "Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, 'What kind of child will this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." This is obviously speaking of John the Baptist, but whenever, you know, new parent or whatever, I have opportunity to talk to them, I think this is a wonderful scripture to share with our brother. You know, what type of child will this be? Some children are going to take a little bit more course corrections than others. Some will seem to float and just do everything right. But every one of them is going to be different. So looking at parenting, well, we realize that as children are born, there's going to be a need to change their behavior. You can take an example that probably everyone's familiar with respect to behavior, and you can talk about Pavlov and dogs. And Pavlov could change the behavior of dogs. And as he did that, the dogs behaved in a certain way. Parents can also change the behavior of their children. And I would propose to you in not very different ways than Pavlov changed the ways dogs behaved. But we need to realize that as we're looking at behavior, behavior is on the surface. Whenever we are dealing with something that's precious and that has a soul, we need to be sure that we are going to the source of where that behavior is coming from. We need to look at the heart of the child. It's very easy to get the right responses from a child. But we have to ask ourselves, are we manipulating their behavior, or are we molding their hearts? One of the things that would concern me with that is it just kind of reminds me, you know, are we making whitewashed tombs, or are we making godly creatures? I believe God provides us instructions. Deuteronomy chapter 6, second reading of the law. In verse 6 it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart, in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The law, the commandments God set before Israel, were oh so important. In the giving of that law, God acknowledges, in not specific words, but he acknowledges that it's going to take a lot to to raise a child, to mold their hearts, to make them spiritual creatures. God sees our hearts. We could think of the familiar story with David. Whenever David is anointed king in 1 Samuel 16, it says in verse 7, after looking at the first brother, says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical structure, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man see as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" It's the heart that is the wellspring of life. And God looks to that source of where our actions and where our behaviors come from. And that's where he determines what type of man we will be. We still have to deal with the behaviors as parents, but it is the heart we have to have an effect on. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." God searches out those who have a good heart, whose heart is turned towards God. In raising our children, we want to mold them in a manner such that when God searches the earth, he sees in our child a child who is being raised so that they will be obedient servants for God. Another interesting scripture, and quite often we talk about, you know, the rod of correction. Excuse me. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, it says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." God gives instructions that disciplining children isn't just about changing behavior. Discipline is about changing the heart of that child. We're dealing with matters of the heart. Jesus also dealt with matters of the heart. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, where he's describing godly people, Jesus mentions in verses 21 through 26 of chapter 5 about murderers and how there's murders and the premeditation, and that's coming from the heart. But he equates that all the way down to hatred. And hatred coming from the heart, coming from the wellspring of life, can cause an individual to be viewed as corrupted. He also talks about, right after that, adultery, and how looking at a woman to lust after her, how that is the equivalent of adultery in your heart. If you remember the story of Jesus, whenever he was responding to the Pharisees about the apostles and the disciples not washing their hands, he says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Once again, realizing that the heart, being the wellspring of life, is going to bubble up what the individual's desires and thoughts are. And that someone might be able to chasten their body, to discipline their body to the point where they hide it from most people. But there's going to be some time when those things slip out. At the time Jesus was talking about, it was at a point where they were behaving in such a reproachable manner that on the outside no one could tell, but on the inside they were corrupted. The next chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, continuing the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth nor rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." These are matters of the heart. We need to mold, we need to affect the heart of our children. A couple weeks ago, and I might get this wrong, there's a good chance I might confuse something I heard in Monterey at the church there versus something here, but I remember someone talking about planting the seed. And whenever we plant the seed, we need to make sure that we plant the seed of God in our children's heart. See, it's the word that is going to affect our child. In planting the seed in other people, and by teaching them the word, we are appropriately spreading the word of God. That application applies directly inside of our family to our children. If we are going to be able to raise up children knowing God, they need to have knowledge of his word, of the things that are important, and how to rightly divide that word. Doing those things, we are fully fulfilling our duty as parents. I talked to John last month after his invitation, John Rivas, with respect to losing a child to sin. I thought John gave an excellent invitation. Because, see, one of the things that we're dealing with here is there is no guarantee that whenever we plant the seed correctly and we water it correctly, that our child is going to grow up and be a child of God. And as a parent, that's scary. This is the part of the lesson where I have to be careful not to cry now. Because of the serious nature of losing a child to Satan. But if we do what we are supposed to, God will be pleasing with us. And if we pray and we have the support of the church, we can be confident that our duty is fulfilled and that we've given our child the best environment to be raised in. It is the fact that we might plant the seed and we might water, but in prayer we go to God that he might provide the gain of our children someday growing up and being added to the kingdom of God. In Mark 7, we look at things that come out of the heart of man. We look at evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. It'd be interesting, you know, knock out the adulteries, fornications, and murders. It'd be interesting to get an honest survey of the parents in the church that see this in their smallest of children, some of these things. You know, these behaviors are the behavior of a selfish individual. But whenever our children are born, what are they born? They start out cute, soft, precious, and selfish. That's the way God created them. That's the way they will survive as the youngest of infants, and that's okay. And even though they're the most selfish individual you'll ever have to deal with, basically just eating, sleeping, excreting, repeating, wake up any time of the night, cry until they have to catch their breath. and they'll gag on themselves sometimes. And you're trying to change the diaper as fast as possible, but you're doing the best you can. You know, there's no reasoning with them at that young infant age. And some parents try. You're so tired, I honestly can't remember the things that I did. You know, whether it's trying to negotiate with them to please stop crying, promising them a car whenever, I have no idea. What goes, that's between you and probably lost memory. At this point, this is where I kind of take a little sidebar on my lesson. And we're talking about teaching and changing your child's heart. But whenever you're up late at night, and whenever you're struggling, exhausted and sleep deprived, and pretty much at the end of your rope, that's whenever you need to take them and sit down and let them cry and pray with them. And pray for them and pray for strength for yourself. And prayer will help you get through those long and hard and difficult nights. But with respect to the child, they start out very selfish. And eventually, they will come to an age where you can reason with them. However, at that age, there's still a strong pull on your child to continue to still be selfish, to serve themselves. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." We need to get to the child's heart. And temptation being just as strong and real for them as it is for us, we need to help them work through those struggles. And eventually there will be a time, whenever they are on their own, that their heart will guide them in these things. And at that point, it will be too late, for you will have lost the critical influences that you have. But at that point, your child, as an adult, is going to either bring forth good fruit or bring forth bad fruit. Talking in our Bible classes, when we studied in the past weeks about struggling, the struggle with the inner man, that's an opportunity for us to talk to our children. They have the same struggles, the same difficulties that we have. We can encourage them, or we can discourage them. We can encourage them through God's word, or we can discourage them by saying things like, "Get over it," or "Don't worry about it," or "It'll get better." The heart is what we need to affect. 72, song number 72, says, "Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee." Doesn't talk anywhere in there about children, to the best of my knowledge. But that song describes what an adult is going through. That song also describes what a child can be going through. And then there's an age when you can instruct them and say, "I have the same problems with you. I have the same discouragements. I have the same difficulties." You can look at this song with them and say, "This is how I get through these hard times. I go to God. I lean on God." It is the working with our children and establishing a Godward orientation, a view in their eyes that they can see God and have their eyes set on heavenly things and go to God in prayer on their own. So you can manipulate behaviors. You can emotionally appeal to them. You can bribe them. You can reward them. You can shame them, give them guilt, penalize them, threaten them. All these things will change behavior. And some of these tools are useful in correcting and affecting the heart. I wish I had more time to go into the shut up money jar. There's some sources that I'm using to help me word some of this. They had a great example of the shut up money jar. You can ask me about it offline. But ultimately, we need to establish with them that the basics for ethics is the fact that God has spoken. So what matters? We can manipulate behavior, and by manipulating that behavior, we can constrain the behavior that comes from our child. But it's the fact that we want to get all the way to the source of that behavior. We want to get to the training of the heart and teach our children about their heart, teach them that we struggle with very similar problems. In our instruction manual for raising children and changing their heart, it says in Psalms 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." They have anxieties, and we have anxieties. And Psalms says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and try my heart." Finally, in Ezekiel chapter 36, it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Just teaching our children they have the opportunity to go to God and pray, that they can pray for their heart to be changed, that they can pray to have the hardened parts of their hearts removed, and to have a heart that is as God would have it, a heart of flesh, to be put in place in their times of struggles. We need to get to the heart of children because it is the wellspring of life. In Psalms chapter 51, and there was some excitement between Brian and myself when we were downloading the slides this morning about the fact that he had picked out this song when I told him the topic. It's also in my lesson. Song 501, if it might be easy to remember, is Psalm 51. "Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you do not despise." I think it's the goal of every parent in the church to be able to raise a child whose heart is not despised by God. See, if we change the heart, the behavior will follow. And so, I had mentioned to Mitch that I got three more lessons ready to go. And so if there's a opportunity, I would love to present these in the future. The importance of Godward orientation is a very important part of raising a child. Because even in their young lives, they have many influences. They have shaping influences. And those influences differ in every child, even in the same family. You can have the oldest child in a family of 12 will have different influences than the same child in the family, the youngest child in a family of 12. We sing a song, it says, "Will your anchor hold in the seas of life?" Talking about our trials and tribulations that we go through. It's very important that we work with our child to mold their heart in a manner that is pleasing to God. If you're not a member of the church, we are here to help to show you what it is in God's word that needs to be done for you to be saved. Just as we talk tonight about the precious value of a child's soul, it has equal value in the eyes of God as the oldest individual's soul here. We're here to help you and to teach you from God's word. If you have had that teaching and you realize that you are a sinful creature, that you need to make yourself right with God, and that you understand that the instructions have been laid out in his word on how to be able to stand before God on judgment day justified. If you want to come forward and be baptized, the water is ready. If there's any opportunity to be able to do that tonight, it would give us great joy to help you in your spiritual life.